buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show, and together we're off and running on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, the 18th of March, 2021. We're in our 11th year now on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening through my website, buckmastershow.com, also on my website. Within the conclusion of the program, a couple of hours later, we've got the podcast available, and we have built up a very substantial archive of programs going back 10 years at buckmastershow.com. Our Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio for our Tucson Quarterly Air Service Update, Dick Grunzel is here, Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of the Tucson Airport Authority. Dick, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you.
Serendipitous to have you on the program today, because I see that America has just gone through the best week for the number of people going through TSA in since last March.
Yeah, it's it was really kind of crazy the way things have gone. We in the industry, we kind of look at things as percentage of pre-COVID, because that's kind of the benchmark we use. And, 2019 is kind of is obviously the pre-COVID period. And, things, of course, just dropped to practically zero in April when it all started. And then things gradually improved to about October. And at that point, here in Tucson, at Tucson International, we were up to about 44%. Of pre-COVID passenger levels. And then the cases kind of started ticking up, and, various states started putting in quarantine rules and all of that. So things kind of slowly went back down till we kind of hit the low point in January of 2021, when we were at about 36% of pre-COVID. And then in February, things just continued to decline. And then in mid to late February, it's like somebody turned on the faucet. All of a sudden, there was just incredible increases in the number of people that we were seeing coming through the airport. On many days, over 50% of pre-COVID passenger levels.
And people were saying that they're much more confident when they're fully vaccinated. Even with one shot, they're feeling more confident at least to start the booking process. And that's reflected with all the major airlines now saying the summer is going to look real strong.
Yeah, exactly what we saw. Most of the airlines are coming out with kind of that same view of what's been going on. And again, it just surprised everyone how quickly it happened. I mean, the airlines are still burning cash because the tickets they're selling just can't support the expenses that they have. But within a month, for the first quarter of this calendar year, they just dramatically improved on the amount of cash that they were expected to burn in the quarter. So, they're definitely seeing it. And definitely people are looking ahead to the summer and making plans.
And I think domestic travel is leading the way. There are still too many. On the international front, you've still got some more requirements concerning COVID testing.
Exactly. In the U.S., definitely it's being led by leisure travelers going elsewhere in the country. Beach destinations, Florida, extremely popular. A lot of flights actually with the airlines being added to places like Montana, Colorado in the mountains. People are just looking for places to kind of be out in the open as much as possible.
I think I saw something in the past week, Dick Grunzel, in the top five booking domestic locations for the airlines, Glacier National Park.
Absolutely. Glacier National Park, Yellowstone.
Miami's in the top five, so yeah.
Absolutely. But you're right, international is it's just too early in the process, yet too many unknowns. Practically every country requires a negative COVID test, and that's regardless of whether you're vaccinated or not. Right. Even if you are, it doesn't matter. You still have to provide the test, and there's kind of tight time requirements. And then coming back as well now.
That's a big hindrance to a lot of people. They don't want to get a test in a foreign country
exactly.
to return to the United States.
Exactly. That is a requirement to, mm-hmm. to come back into the U.S. You have to have a negative test. So a lot of people apprehensive about their ability to actually get that test, especially within the time frame, because the requirement is you have to have the test taken within 72 hours. So you have to find somewhere to get the test, get the result back within that 72-hour time period.
Hawaiian travel now is starting to really pick up, and they're now talking about perhaps proof of vaccination will make that an easier process. The United States Virgin Islands is a very popular destination because people who want to go to the Caribbean will not have to do that test to return to the United States because the USVI is part of the United States. Same with Puerto Rico.
Same with Puerto Rico. That's exactly right.
So let's talk about daily flights. How are we doing? What are we up to at this point compared to PC or pre-COVID? Yes.
Right now, looking at March and April, and at this point, the schedules are only completely finalized by the airlines through April. We're at about 70% of our pre-COVID flight level. So what that means in numbers is actually we're up to about 42 flights per day. So obviously pre-COVID this time of year, we were at roughly 60 flights per day. So really
close.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, we're getting close. Better than a lot of airports, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Tucson is, kind of one of those wide open spaces places. Mm-hmm. So we do still have quite a few people coming to Arizona looking for the beautiful weather and scenery and outdoor activities that we offer here.
So we're up to 42 flights per day. How about add-on flights? What are we seeing?
Southwest Airlines just recently, last October added almost daily flights to Houston Hobby. They started out with six flights per week, not flying it on Saturdays. But this month in March, they've increased that to 7 days a week. And, that's really a great addition. It kind of fills a hole that Southwest had here with, easier connections to Florida, which, again, is one of those really popular destinations. So Southwest also in March and April is adding some flights to Oakland. At this point, they don't continue past April, but we've had good feedback from Southwest that those flights have booked up pretty well. So hopefully as we move along, we can get those flights added back on a permanent basis.
Frontier continues to be a player in our market.
Definitely. They've resumed their flights to Denver. Sun Country also resumed their seasonal twice weekly flights to Minneapolis in December. And then Allegiant just joined us back again in last month with twice weekly flights to Las Vegas, Provo, Utah, and Indianapolis.
Allegiant has been very aggressive looking forward, along with Spirit Airlines, which doesn't serve Tucson, but both those airlines, kind of not major players, but they're very aggressive about the reentry.
Reentry
from the COVID era.
Yes, they are. And, those three airlines, especially the low-cost airlines, ultra-low-cost, which
right.
all three of these are, mm-hmm. Very popular because those are the airlines that even pre-COVID catered to the leisure travelers, really not a bunch of business travelers with those airlines. So relatively speaking, those airlines are doing, recovering essentially much faster coming out of COVID than the mainline carriers.
Yeah, because they were not dependent, Dick, as you say, on the business traveler. And that segment of the market's very slow to recover. However, there is even some good news there. The New York Times reported that some meeting planning is starting to tick up. So I think you're going to see a recovery of that perhaps into the fall, maybe not summer, but into the business cycle of 21 into the year 2022.
Absolutely. And I think, quite obviously, it really depends on how rapidly the vaccination effort continues. And I think I saw something that we're up over 20% of the entire population in the U.S. now has received at least one of the two shots in some cases. So it's really going, I think probably after this a little bit of a slow start, going probably much faster than a lot of people would have anticipated.
Yeah, I think anybody that wants a shot will be able to have one by May. Dick, we're going to pause right here. It is our quarterly Tucson Air Service update with Dick Grunzel, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, my favorite bakery in town, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. And they're open right now for lunch. What a beautiful day to sit out on the patio up at Mona's. Perhaps maybe for dessert, doing one of those beautiful muffins that they do, or some of the great cookies. There are all sorts of opportunities. How about one of those chocolate brownies? Oh my goodness. Making me hungry here. Mona's Danish Bakery.com is their website. Check it out. You can go on the website, order your bakery goods that way. You can call ahead or just stop in and dine. Some limited dining indoors, but plenty outdoors. We'll be back talking about Tucson Air Service. Any questions or comments folks have, we can open up our live line right now at 790-2040. Be right back.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. So much to talk about on the air service front in our quarterly Tucson Air Service Report with Dick Grunzel, the VP and Chief Financial Officer at Tucson Airport Authority. When folks are booking, and they're doing a lot more of it, Dick Grunzel, the airlines are posting schedules, if it's many months in advance, that those schedules are schedules that perhaps were pre-COVID.
That's exactly right. Right now, all of the airlines serving Tucson have set their schedules through April. But beyond that, a couple of them have taken a shot at revising and updating their May schedules, but other ones haven't. And the ones that haven't, it's essentially their schedule from 2 years ago.
Wow.
So it's a lot more flights than than is likely they'll fly. So, you can book all of those flights, but if you book, out into May, June, July timeframe, you need to just kind of keep in mind that you might get some schedule changes. I mean, there will be flights available. It's just you may have to change times.
Things have changed so much in our world, including the aviation industry and at airports, Dick. Everything's been going touchless. How are you guys responding at TIA?
Yeah, there's a couple of really nice things that we've been working with our partners on to get up and running at the airport. One of them is with all of our restaurants at the airport. There's a phone, mobile device app called Grab, G-R-A-B. So essentially with this app on your phone, any of the restaurants at the airport, you can go, just open up the app. You can find all of the menus for all of the restaurants at the airport, order what you want, pay for it through the app. They will, bag it all up for you. So all you have to do is just walk to the restaurant, pick it up, and you're done, totally touchless.
And then you take it on board and you're all set. So, let them know when you're going to pick it up.
Absolutely.
How about parking?
Parking is another one we've been, really happy to introduce something a couple of months ago. Touchless, totally touchless, parking. So you can actually go to our website, flytucson.com, you can reserve and pay for your parking with a credit card online, whichever lot you like. And when you do that, you will get a QR code that you can either just have on your phone, or you could actually print it out if you like. And then there are readers at the entrances to the parking lots. You just scan your QR code. It lets you into the lot. You park. When you come back, just scan it on the way out. Totally touchless experience.
Travelers are looking to see if Uber and Lyft are conveniently located now by baggage claim.
Yeah, Uber and Lyft is something that airports have really been kind of scrambling to catch up with over the last few years, frankly, because the layout of our airports really wasn't designed for the way Uber and Lyft do business. So up until just this week, as a matter of fact, we've had Uber and Lyft pickups in an area not you know, as convenient as really anyone would like. It used to be up on the upper level roadway by the rental car facility. So what we've had a project that we've been working on. And so now Uber and Lyft are right out in front of the terminal, along with all of the other ground transportation providers, much more convenient area for people, you know, arriving and needing an Uber or Lyft. Just walk out the bag claim to the ground transportation area, and they're right there.
How about overall airline safety enhancements and measures that they're still taking?
Airlines obviously have taken, you know, cleaning and sanitation very seriously. You know, one of the things that many airlines had done for a while was limiting the number of seats. Delta really is the only one who's still doing that. They've committed to essentially holding middle seats open through the end of April. None of the other airlines who had offered that are currently promising that. But flights are still not, you know, really all that full. So it is generally not an issue, but you can run into some that might be filling up. And most of the airlines, you know, such as, you know, Southwest, United, and American, if they get to the point where flights are getting, you know, full to a certain extent, they generally will be letting you know so that if you're not comfortable with that, that you can, you know, rebook to a different flight that is not so full.
Dick, it's also worth noting about face coverings, even as states like Texas and some of the other states dropping a face mask requirement. We need to keep in mind that airports like Tucson International Airport are under federal jurisdiction when it comes to those face covering mandates and being on board the
airlines. Yes. As well. That's correct. So and again, even if you are fully vaccinated, that does not matter. You still are required to wear a face mask. And it's really important. I mean, there actually are still some states, even for domestic travel, that have a quarantine requirement for people flying in from other parts of the country. So it's really important that you can go to flytucson.com. We have just an incredible volume of information about all of the various you know, requirements, you know, both domestically and internationally, links to the airlines where you can, you know, specifically look at what each airline is doing. So I really would encourage anyone who's traveling to go to flytucson.com. And just check that out and just really make sure you're prepared for wherever you're going.
Well, you and your team at the airport really deserve kudos for this big award. It's that accreditation. And I believe that there are only a handful of airports in the entire world that have received this particular accreditation, which is considered like a 5-star accreditation for cleanliness.
Exactly. Yes. That's from the Global Biorisk Advisory Council, star accreditation. And Tucson International was the fifth airport in the world to receive that accreditation. You know, so we really sprung into action immediately when the pandemic started, because we knew that you know, people were going to want to know that their you know, travel is going to be safe and healthy coming through our airport.
And you made some changes too, and you put some money into some of these cleanliness protocols.
Yeah, just a tremendous investment in putting, you know, hand sanitizer, you know, everywhere throughout the terminal complex. UV light sanitizing of escalator and moving walkway handrails. So that's a really nice feature. So every time you touch it, it has just been sanitized. And another nice feature, too, is all of our elevators have toe-activated buttons down by the floor, both, you know, outside to call the elevator and then inside as well in terms of, you know, which floor you want to go to. So, you know, acrylic shields at all of the transaction points where you're dealing with people. So definitely, you know, we have done everything, you know, we can to make the journey safe for everyone.
Dick, let's talk in the remaining minute or two about some of the trends that we're going to see here. Summer bookings are going up. And fares, I would assume, are going to also increase, and already are, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, this, just anecdotal. I mean, I look at airfares quite a bit, and definitely, you know, really within the last 2 weeks, the fares have started to go up. So, if you're thinking about traveling, other than if you're booking basic economy fares, which is the least expensive on the major airlines, for all other, just main cabin type fares, pretty much the airlines are, you got nothing to lose essentially, because they've eliminated change fees on those fares. So if you see a good fare, you book it. If something comes up, you can apply that to, some other flight in the future.
That is one of the biggest changes in many, many years about eliminating change fees, which really got under the skin of most air travelers.
The airlines obviously are, really anxious for people to buy tickets. So that's one of those things that, one of those airlines decided to eliminate those change fees. And it was like dominoes after that. I mean, everybody, couldn't get to the party fast enough.
I think we're going to have some people who have not been to the airport, Dick Grunzel, in probably over a year. Maybe they hadn't taken a trip since 2019. They're going to see changes at the airport, even right through security. It's completely different.
Yeah, they are. certainly we're still doing the physical distancing, so we've got all the markers you see at the grocery store and all that kind of stuff. TSA, you're going to see the acrylic shields around the TSA agents. You are required, obviously, as we talked about, mm-hmm. to wear a mask, even going through security, although you'll have to pull your face mask down so they can, verify your identity with your ID. The airlines have changed their boarding procedures to try and minimize the physical contact. So, definitely it's not like it used to be.
All right, Dick Grunzel, we will look forward to traveling by air. Thank you, Dick, and all the best to you.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
That's going to wrap it up to the midway point of the Buckmaster Show, wrapping up the first portion, the first half hour of our daily hour together. We've got Rex Scott, Pima County Supervisor. He's on the live line, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Rex Scott, after the break.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This would be a great time to go over to Green Things and ask the very knowledgeable people that work there, say, you know, spring is here. It looks like we will not be having another freeze. That would be highly unlikely over St. Patrick's Day based on, well, you never know, but I mean, it would be highly unlikely. And the weather is going to be warming up. And just go over to Green Things at 3384 East River Road. Their staff is ready to answer the questions about, I want some color in the backyard, in the garden, and I want something that's going to survive not only the spring, but into a hot summer. And they can steer you in the right direction. 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, lots of stuff over there. In other words, open daily. And of course, when you're there looking for plants, you might want to also pop into Zocalo Village and look at all those antiques, fine arts, and handmade furniture. And that Talavera pottery is very tempting. Their website's greenthingsaz.com, and also they have zocalovillage.com. Our Liveline is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the Liveline, let's go now to the home office of Pima County Supervisor, Democrat District 1, Rex Scott. Supervisor Scott, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing great. Thanks again for this opportunity to spend some time with you and your listeners.
Well, you're about almost three months into the job. Are you settling in?
Very much so, in a virtual sense, because all of our board meetings have been conducted online, and every meeting that I have, either with other county staff members or with community groups that want to speak with me, have been virtual, with the exception of yesterday. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of meeting with a homeowners association. They were having their monthly meeting outside in a park that is within their subdivision, and it was just an extraordinarily gratifying experience to actually be able to interact face-to-face with human beings again. And I hadn't had a meeting with a community group of any sort in over a year. The whole campaign was like that, and everything that I've done as a supervisor since taking office in January has been either on a virtual platform or over the phone. So it was just a wonderful experience to be able to interact with these constituents in this beautiful park in their neighborhood.
What issue kept coming up at that meeting yesterday over and over again, Rex Scott?
Oh, come on, Bill. We live in District 1. It was roads.
I do. I knew the answer to the question. There you go. Of course it was roads. And what did you say?
Well, one of the things that I shared with them is that I am going to be looking for ways to accelerate the pavement preservation plan that was adopted by the previous board in near the end of their tenure. And we're going to have a measure on the agenda for the April 6th Board of Supervisors meeting that is going to do exactly that. It will work within the parameters of the policy that was approved by the previous board that set up the PAYGO plan, but it will look to infuse an additional $50 million into road repairs next year, and that will allow us to cover approximately an additional 130 miles of roads during the next fiscal year. And looking at ways to accelerate that program, when it was passed by the previous board, the goal was to have all of the roads in unincorporated Pima County up to good condition by 2030. I'm always going to be looking for ways to accelerate that plan so that hopefully we're going to be able to reach that goal earlier than originally planned. And this measure that I'm going to bring to my colleagues at the next board meeting is the first step in that direction.
Yeah, and to give our listeners a little bit of history, and sometimes it seems like we've there's the pre-COVID times, and then there's been the COVID year, and I know 2019 seems like ancient history, but it was November that the previous configuration of the board of the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors, they approved something called what was known as a PAYGO plan that will spend $526 million for road repairs over the next 10 years. So it sounds like what I hear you talking about for early April, introducing a measure that could speed things up a bit.
It would certainly speed things up for the next fiscal year. And as I said, if approved by my colleagues, it would allow us to address an additional 130 miles of local roads above and beyond what was already planned. And then we need to be revisiting the PAYGO plan on a frequent basis every year to see if there are ways that we can accelerate it so that we can reach that goal sooner than what was originally planned.
Let's leave roads for a moment. And I was thinking about, you know, you meeting for the first time with a neighborhood group yesterday. What about a reentry plan now, Rex Scott? The good news is, I believe the day before last, it might have even been yesterday, there were literally only a couple dozen cases of COVID reported in Pima County. It's been under 100 now for several days, at least under 100 and sometimes well under 100. Do you think it's time to really now talk about the reentry?
We already are. The governor's executive order dealing with loosening restrictions on restaurants and other public accommodations, but keeping masking and distancing in place for the time being was one step in that direction. The county very recently opened up all of our athletic fields for uses by leagues and tournaments. We're going to be also loosening up the audience restrictions that are on the Roadrunners, our local hockey team, and on FC Tucson, the soccer team that uses the Keno Sports Complex. Even though the mandatory curfew, the county was enjoined from enforcing it, that injunction really pretty much became moot the other day when cases fell below the point established by the previous board when they put that curfew in place. So the curfew is really not an issue anymore. I am hopeful that hopefully by May we can be meeting in public again as a board.
So going back to that curfew, I know there was a plan to kind of appeal that. Am I hearing you say that maybe this appeal is not going to happen?
That's correct.
because it's really at this point there's no reason to pursue it, and there would be legal costs involved. So that's basically a moot point.
It is a moot point because the curfew, both in either mandatory or voluntary form, has already expired. So there really isn't any necessity in pursuing the matter further legally.
All right, we've got more to talk about with Pima County Supervisor, Democrat District 1, after we take the break. And a plug for tomorrow's show, our Friday Focus interview tomorrow will be with the chairman of the Arizona Board of Regents, which oversees our three state universities. And there is a lot to talk about with Larry Penley about how are the universities going to be going forward now in the post-COVID environment. Lots with him tomorrow at 12:04. But let's take the break right now. Buckmaster on a Thursday, Rex Scott, Pima County Supervisor. I've got more to talk with Mr. Scott about right after this. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Talk about perfect timing. Our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, are really excited. They just sent me an email saying, "Dear Bill, please tell all of your listeners, we are open." There you go. So that means the quarantine order for out-of-state visitors has been dropped. All of our state parks in the Land of Enchantment are now open to out-of-staters again. So what that means is you can jump in the car, take that three-hour drive to Silver City. We've been hoping that that news would be coming. New Mexico is open again, and so much outdoor activity available. Perfect timing. A greening up of the Gila National Wilderness. How about going hiking over there this weekend? Where to go as far as your trip planning? Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. Once again, the good news, one of our great sponsors notifying us, New Mexico is once again open. All right, let's go back now to Rex Scott, Pima County Supervisor, District 1. Supervisor Scott, I think that's very good news.
It's great news. My wife and I spent an anniversary in Silver City once, stayed at a beautiful bed and breakfast within walking distance of the downtown area, and just truly enjoyed the area.
All right. That means another recreation opportunity for Tucsonans. Do you hear anything, Rex Scott, from has there been any briefing of you and your board members about where this tent city, what we're told is going to be a large tent-like facility to house migrants in the Tucson area? The Border Patrol has announced that. Do we have any idea where that might be in Pima County?
Nothing has been communicated to the board by either the Border Patrol or the county administrator. What I know is probably as much as what you know, Bill, which is that I saw the article in the Arizona Daily Star today that drew on information that had been gotten from Senator Sinema's office. And at this point, that is the most that I know. I will say that we have been briefed extensively as a board on county staff's efforts to work with Customs and Border Patrol and also the federal emergency management folks about the need for congregate housing to be provided for asylum seekers by the federal government. We do not have the capacity with the Casa Elita shelter, given COVID restrictions, to accommodate the number of asylum seekers that we have been able to house in the past. And so this is really something where we are dependent upon our federal partners to come up with solutions that are not only humane and address the safety and hygiene needs of asylum seekers, but that also are an acknowledgement of the concerns that the public has for their own safety and well-being. And just based on what I read in the paper today, I don't think a tent city is an appropriate way of dealing with this situation. And I hope that the Border Patrol will strongly consider other options beyond that one.
Let's go to our
live. Other than that one, I should
Excuse
say.
Me, Rex. All right, let's go to our live line. Kurt has called us. Kurt has a question for Supervisor Scott. Go ahead, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Supervisor Scott. Over the last year or so, we have noticed an increase in street racing that's occurring within unincorporated Pima County, and I know probably within the city as well. I've spoken with you about this, and I've spoken with some others. I am wondering if you would support any ordinances that would increase penalties against violators, those who are street racing, causing noise problems, safety problems in our community. It really is becoming a problem that is a growing concern for residents.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Go ahead, Supervisor Scott.
Kurt, thanks very much for your question. I've appreciated the conversations that you and I have had about an increase in this activity around the Foothills Mall area. I was pleased to connect Sheriff Nanos with you so that the two of you could have a conversation about what the Sheriff's Department is doing to address that issue. I know that the sheriff has a partnership with the Tucson Police Department so that we can take a holistic approach to dealing with this issue. And I'm sure he's also working with Oral Valley and Marana law enforcement as well. I am going to be very willing to listen to what either the sheriff or the county attorney would recommend to the board in terms of any additional local ordinances that may need to be in place to address this issue. So far, I have not heard from either of them that they feel that there's a need for any additional laws. But I certainly think that there is a need for a coordinated approach to enforcement so that we can deal with this serious safety issue.
Yeah, and just leaving the station yesterday on Alvernon, I saw some street racing at a little after 1 o'clock right down Alvernon, and the two vehicles had to have been hitting like 70 miles an hour on Alvernon. And I don't know if it's because perhaps some of the street racers think that there's no officers out looking for speeders right now, but that was kind of scary that happened just here in town, Rex Scott, yesterday.
Well, I know after following up with the sheriff, when our office was first contacted by Kurt regarding his concerns, that was when he talked to me about some of the efforts that he is engaged in with the other law enforcement agencies in the county so that we can make enforcement of this issue a high priority.
Let's talk about this eviction issue. The board, you and your supervisors, the vote was 4-1. Along party lines, two separate measures came up Tuesday to extend coronavirus relief throughout the county concerning evictions. What can you tell us? And we've only have a few minutes left.
Well, the most important step that we took was freeing up some funds that were given to us by the federal government and also given to the city of Tucson. It's a total of $15 million to the county, $19 million to the city of Tucson. That's from the Consolidated Appropriations Act that was passed by Congress in December. And we need to work expeditiously with the city, with the Community Investment Corporation that we've contracted with to get out part of those funds so that back rent can be paid out to landlords and tenants that are eligible to receive it. So that we can cut down on evictions. When evictions come before justice court, we did pass a measure to provide for legal representation for tenants. The best advantage that they get in those situations is perhaps a way to delay an eviction so that alternative housing can be found and also to reduce the potential costs. But I want to reiterate that the most important thing that we need to be doing, and not just the county and the city, but also the state government with the funds that it's been given from the federal government, is to get back rent payments out into the community. That's going to be the surest way to cut down on evictions. I also hope that the federal government will consider extending the eviction moratorium that expires at the end of this month, so that local governments can have the time to get all those federal funds out to the people who need them.
Yeah, the landlords shouldn't be stuck here with huge bills. Hopefully, the federal government can get these people relief so that they can be brought up to speed. They shouldn't have to absorb a year's rent in some cases.
No, they absolutely should not. And it is important, as was said on Tuesday, to consider not just the plight of tenants in this situation, which is obviously extensive, but also to consider the enormous financial burden placed on landlords, not all of whom are represented by major property management companies. We're talking about a significant number of what you call mom and pop landlords,
yeah.
Small investors, and their needs have to be addressed as well.
All right, Rick Scott, Pima County Supervisor, thank you very much. Hope you have a great rest of the day.
Bill, thanks very much. I always enjoy being on your show.
Thank you very much. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. And that's going to wrap it up. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. And Tom, I forgot to end the show with that kind of an Irish ditty yesterday on St. Patrick's Day. And it basically says, may the wind be always at your back and the sun in your face. Have a great afternoon.